Well, turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 29. I've enjoyed being in the Psalms a little bit in our couple of weeks together. This is one of those wonderful Psalms. It's one of those commands from David to give glory to God. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord, the old King James used to say, in the beauty of his holiness. The NIV says, in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord himself over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon sink like a calf, Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned on the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. That's Roddick. Friends, this is a message to us about waking up, calling out the glory of God. The occasion for this particular psalm is uncertain, but it's at a time when David is so filled with the wonder and the glory of who God is, that as he pens this psalm, he reminds us of a number of things that we need to be focusing our attention on. I've entitled my message this morning, Reasons Why God Demands Our Attention. You know, sometimes we go through life as if, you know, God doesn't exist. But sometimes, friend, God needs to scream at us, shout at us, kind of just remind us of who he is. And David had had one of those experiences of God speaking, and now he's reminding us why we need to pay attention to God. So first of all, he begins the psalm in the opening few verses by giving us a command to acknowledge God. Who does he give the command to? Well, first of all, he says, even your angels. He's even telling the angels, he says, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. The word mighty ones literally means the angels. David is so filled with the wonder of who God is that even although he knows that the task of angels is to be giving God glory all the time, friends, he even tells the angels, wake up. God is greater than that. Come on, angels, do your job, he's saying. Let's all join in this together. And then he reminds us also that we are to be part of the congregation of people or beings that give glory to God. In verse 9, he says, he tells the temple worshippers, the voice of the Lord twists the rock. In his temple, all cry glory. Surely we need to be doing that, Rince. There's not one of us who should be stopped from giving glory to God. Every single one of us, with all of our being, with all of who we are, need to be giving glory to God in every single way. We need to add our voices to the voice of the angels. We need to come together as we came together in the temple to worship God. You know, when I was talking to the children a little bit earlier on, we get this picture of a cheerleader. Now, much of the temple worship was done like that. The priests would stand on a kind of raised auditorium, and they would shout out, and then the congregation would respond. They were like the cheerleaders, calling the congregation, like we have those who lead us in our songs singing here. They would call the congregation, and the congregation would respond and say amen, or they would respond in the same words. That same picture that we see in the beginning of the book of Isaiah, where when Isaiah is called, we see that picture of Isaiah says, and I saw the angels were saying, holy, 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 holy. That's the picture, friends, that David has in his mind as he calls us to acknowledge who God is. What are we to ascribe? What are we to acknowledge? Well, friends, we're to acknowledge, first of all, the fact that God alone is worthy of all glory. He tells us that in verse 2. Ascribe to the Lord glory, in verse 1, ascribe to the Lord glory. And then just to emphasize it again, friends, in verse 2, he says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Friends, there's nobody else that demands should be given glory. There is only one who should be given glory, and that's God himself. And we need to be reminded of that many times, friends, because as human beings, we're very quick to receive glory for ourselves, aren't we? We're all hungry to kind of be important. Just look at the way people act today. They want to collect as much money as they can. They want to collect as much fame as they can. They want to collect as many degrees as they can. Why? Many of them, friends, want those things so that others will look up to them and say, oh, what a good person, what a fantastic person that is. They want to be the center of their own little world. But David reminds us, friends, there is only one who received glory. Why? There's another reason he reminds us. He says, ascribe to the Lord not only glory, but strength. People want power. These are the two things that the world is chasing after, friends. Men and women in the world chasing after power and glory. Everybody wants to be the king of the castle. Everybody wants to be the boss. But yeah, David, who had arrived at that point, he was the king. He was king at a time in Israel's life, friends, where they were one of the strongest nations in the world at that point in time. And yet he realized that in spite of his position, in spite of all that should have been given to him, he points us to God and reminds us, God is the one who requires our attention. There's nothing in us that reminds us of that. And then he reminds us how to do that. That command to acknowledge is, we are told, how are we to acknowledge God? And friends, That's found in towards the end of verse 2. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know what the word worship means? I've described it before, but let me remind you. The word worship simply means to bow the knee. That's what the word means. Oftentimes when you see somebody coming towards a king, they bend their knee and they take the hand of the king and they kiss the hand of the king. That is the symbol of worship. When you surrender to who God is. That's what David is telling us to do in this command to worship. He's commanding all of us to worship. He's commanding all of us to give glory and strength to God because it belongs to Him alone. And the best way we can do that, friends, is through our worship, through saying to Him, Lord, You are Lord and Master of all. But now He gives us the reason why. Why should we acknowledge God? Why should God be the one who receives all our praise and all our glory, friends? And there are two reasons He gives to us. The first one is this. God has spoken. That's the verse. That's what the psalm is all about. God has spoken. You come across this phrase, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Lord. 7 times in this passage. What's that voice all about? Well, first of all, in verse 3, it's the voice of creation. David says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. David, friends, was remembering what God did in creation. Let me remind you, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God speaks, and creation happens. Friends, that's what David is reminding us about. By the very spoken word of God, all things came into being. There is nothing that exists, friends, that does not exist through the power of the voice and the word of God. He spoke it into being. And we should never lose sight of that reality. The power of His word in creation. Then David reminds the congregation of the power of His word in Revelation. Verse 4 says, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. What's he thinking of as he said these words? Well, he's recalling the time, friends, when God gave the nation of Israel the stone tablets from the mountain. Let me read that passage for you. It's found in Exodus chapter 19. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountains and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, And the voice of God answered him. Friend, there are many differences between Christianity as a religion and other religions. The greatest difference, friends, for us is that we have a God who reveals himself, a God who has spoken, a God who has spoken in many and various ways. In fact, we have a God whose very name means the Word of God. John reminds us of that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Friend, we have a faith that's been given to us in so many ways. Every time you pick up your Bible, friends, never forget that this is God's revelation. It's something, friends, that we need to cherish. There is such an attack on the Bible in the days in which we're living in. The Bible has been discarded by so many people as just being a collection of fairy tales. When we know, friends, that this is God's word to us, there can be no greater truth than contained in this. Many have criticized the Bible as being something that can't be trusted, but the reality is every serious scholar who's ever really tried to engage the Word, who has tried to question the Word, has in the end had to submit themselves and surrender themselves to the Word of God. The words of revelation. Thirdly, David reminds us of God's words encouraging us to worship. Look what he says. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Syrian like a young ox. What's David looking forward to? Well, friends, David is looking forward to the time when his son Solomon would build the temple. David began, friends, to collect material for the building of the temple. And the one thing that he collected was cedars from Lebanon. Lebanon is just to the north of Israel, if you know the geography there. And as you go up Mount Hermon towards where Lebanon is, there are massive mounts of forests as you go up the mountain there. And that's where the wood and the forests that provided all the material that was needed to build the temple was. And so what David is reminding that, friends, when we come to worship, David is reminding us that God is calling us to worship him, friends. God has limited himself at that point in time to his temple, figuratively. But now, wonderfully, friends, we are set free from the temple in Jerusalem because we can worship God anywhere. God is there for us to worship him. Number four carries on. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. Friends, this is God's word, is word to us of judgment, of strength. It says, the word of the Lord is like a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of man. And then verse 8 says, the words of judgment The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. Friend, when God speaks, people need to listen to him. That's what David is reminding us about. God has spoken. God's voice is the voice of judgment, of worship, of revelation, of creation. Friends, we need to listen to God's voice. But not only does God speak, God also acts. He acts in two ways. He acts by just sitting on his throne. Look what it says at the end in verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. God doesn't need to do anything more, friends. God has done everything he needs to do in order for us to acknowledge him. But he also acts by pouring out his blessing upon us. David just acknowledges that there is nothing he has that doesn't come from God himself. Verse 11 ends off the psalm, and it says, it's the Lord who gives strength to his people. It's the Lord who blesses his people with peace. Friends, the message of the psalm is very simple. We are to acknowledge God because God has spoken to us. The image that's used here is the image of a thunderstorm. Now, we get thunderstorms down here in King Williamstown, but you'll never really know what a thunderstorm is really like until you've lived up in Gauteng area. Have you ever lived up in Gauteng? Well, let me tell you, when you live in Gauteng, you really know what a thunderstorm is all about. Because on many afternoons, as Patricia and I, when we lived up there, can attest, in the afternoon, as it's building up during the daytime, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And almost every afternoon, you know you can kind of look out to the southwest or the northwest of the province. And as you're looking out there, you can see the thunder clouds begin to build. And as the afternoon rolls on, they get darker and darker and darker and darker until the heavens open. And the voice of God, friends, you really know that God's speaking. If you don't like thunderstorms, never move up there. Because man, when God speaks, the thunder roars in that place. So I bring the service to a close. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus had been doing a lot of work. And he said to his disciples, let's go across the Sea of Galilee, across to the other side. And while he was on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus got tired and he fell asleep. And as was quite custom in that area, the Sea of Galilee is susceptible to rainstorms. The Sea of Galilee is in like a valley, a deep valley. And you don't see the clouds building up. But all of a sudden, friends, they come rolling over the mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee, and the thunderstorm is there instantaneously. And the disciples were caught up in one of these situations. The disciples were, don't forget, most of them were fishermen. They knew how to handle these situations. And the thunderstorm comes over the Sea of Galilee, and they are overwhelmed by the suddenness of the storm, the suddenness of God appearing in the storm, and they feel as if they're about to drown. They run to Jesus and they say to him, "Master, Master, we are going down." Jesus gets up, friends, and in a picture similar to Psalm 29, Jesus stands at the end of the boat and he lifts his hands, friends, and he simply says, "Be quiet." The storm disappears. And the psalmist or the disciples ask this question, "Who is he that even the storm listens to him?" Who is he? Friends, he is the same God of Psalm 29. He is the same God who was the voice of creation. He is the same God who is the voice of revelation. He is the same God who is the voice who demands our worship. He is the same God who is the voice of judgment. He says, "Peace, be quiet." Friend, God speaks. Why should we worship Jesus? Jesus said, "I'm the Word. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." The book of Hebrews reminds us, in the past, God spoke in many and various ways, but in these last days, since Jesus' time, I have spoken through Christ. The voice of Psalm 29, friends, is the voice of Jesus. That's why we come today to acknowledge him. He is worthy of our worship. He is the one whom to angels cried out, "Glory in the highest is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He is the one, friends, who demands glory and strength, because he alone has spoken the very words of God and is the very word of God to us. So my cry to us today, if you haven't been, or you have forgotten, that there is only one who demands our acknowledgement. Friends, it's Jesus. It's nobody else who demands to take center stage. It's only Jesus. The psalmist reminds us, it's him and him alone who is worthy of our praise. Let's pray together. Thank you, Master. Sometimes we feel a little bit like the disciples, Lord. In the midst of a storm, we can't see you. We don't understand where you are. Sometimes, Lord, we're a little overwhelmed. Perhaps like David felt when he was running away from Saul. Like the disciples were feeling, Lord, in the midst of that storm on the sea. But thank you, Lord, that in the same way that you spoke in the past, in creation, in revelation. Lord, you spoke when you were on this earth. Thank you that you were able to calm the seas. But Lord, thank you that you still speak through your word, through your spirit. Lord, help us to listen. Help us to listen to you. And then, Lord, to acknowledge that you alone are worthy of our glory and our praise. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name.